So now, actually, what Alyssa thought she wanted me to hear, we actually have time to do this. We brought up the Playboy magazine interview with McLuhan and the fact that content was italicized.
Oh, right, right.
This actually should do this for Clinton, but he can hear the recording. So I had a big breakthrough the other day. Baudrillard goes on about the simulation and the event. Have you ever seen Baudrillard write about the events?
It's been a while, okay. I think.
Yeah. So let me see. The Croker had an excerpt on it. Here is Baudrillard, I don't know, in the 90s or something. He says, "What has been lost is the glory of the event, its aura, as Benjamin would say. Over the centuries, history lived under the sign of glory, under the sign of a quite strong illusion that it played on the durability of time, which one inherited from the ancestors and then passed on to descendants. This passion today would seem to be rather pathetic. What we are after is no longer glory, but identity. No longer an illusion, but on the contrary, an accumulation of evidence. Anything that can serve as a testimony to a historical existence." You know, this is after everything's disappeared. "Whereas the task once was to lose oneself in a prodigious dimension, in an immortality," Hannah Arendt speaks about, "and the transcendence of which would equal God," in brackets, "glory and salvation have long been the topic of discussion among people, like passion and compassion, rivals in the face of the eternal. The prodigious or phenomenal event, which cannot be measured either in terms of its causes or its consequences, and which creates its own scene, its own dramaturgy, no longer exists. Little by little, history has shrunk back into the probability of its causes, of its effects, and more recently into the field of its present, into its effects measured in real time in quotes. Events will not go any further than what their anticipated sense, their programming, and their diffusion will allow. This strike of events," no more events, "this strike of events in itself constitutes a true historical manifestation, this refusal to signify whatever there may be, or even the capacity to signify whatever comes our way. This is the true end of history, the end of the reason or logic of history." And then he goes on, yeah. I won't go on to any more. I can post a link to this, right? You can read it. It's pretty good retrieval. But here's the point. Before I saw this, I was thinking content. Okay, figure and ground merge, medium and message merge. What's the other one? Form and content, medium and message, whatever else. The thing is, you see on page 11 in Take Today, so that's written between 68 and 72, right after he says this in Playboy, he says, man becomes both figure and ground. So technologies are extending man, and then everything got extended, including the planet. So then what happens is that the information unfolding of new events is the new ground whenever an event happens. So the content of the media becomes the ground. It's not a technology. Ian said the other day that technology ended with the last Laffin show. And I looked it up. It's March 1973. That's an interesting date. So with information being the ground, but it's both figure, it's both man and technology merged. If you go by Ian's date, Watergate was the first event after Playboy. See, an event, it makes the economy have something to talk about, and then books and movies and media talk about and make money off it, right? It becomes a big engine of wealth. So I realized the other day that I said, Baudrillard said something about the event. And I hadn't, what I just read you, I hadn't all that in my mind. But I said, he goes on about the simulation or the event. And he also talks about the rupture of the event. Where did that? I was thinking, where is that? So I realized that the content is a new environment, and Baudrillard was so post-McLuhan perfect by emphasizing how he talked about the event as the ground. But I just read you a later statement, you know, many years after McLuhan's statement, 70s, 80s, and 90s, Baudrillard can do events, but now he's saying they got canceled. So I thought, I think it's in the terrorism book. So as I was on going my way to get the book, I remembered in The Transparency of Evil, Baudrillard talks about some rebellion that always happens. Like apes was a rebellion by nature against what we were doing with our simulation. So I had that in mind. So I opened up The Spirit of Terrorism, 2002. He wrote this right after 9/11. So listen to this. So you go to the first page, actually page 3. When it comes to world events, we had seen quite a few. From the death of Diana, that's 97, to the World Cup, that's what Zappa was into. The World Cup, I don't know which one, but around the time of Diana. Maybe there was one with a lot of riots or something around 2000. So these events, from the death of Diana to the World Cup, and also violent real events from wars right through to genocides. Yet when it comes to symbolic events on a world scale, that is to say not just events that gain worldwide coverage, but events that represent a setback for globalization itself, we had had none. So globalization, right. The global theater is the ground. And the people, he's going to go into what this ground does for people, what it does to them. And there has to be a reaction to that. So he's saying there hadn't been a reaction to the grievance of globalization for a while. So he says, and remember, Diana's just 4 years before 9/11. So he says in the next sentence, throughout the stagnation of the 90s, events were on strike. It has it in quotes. As the Argentinian writer Macedonia Fernandez put it, well, the strike is over now. Events are not on strike anymore. With the attacks on the World Trade Center in New York, we might even be said to have before us the absolute event, the mother of all events, the pure event, uniting within itself all the events that have never taken place. Uniting within itself all the events that have never taken place.
That's so quite a thing to say.
What?
That's quite a thing to say.
Right, and I'm reading through this the other night, and I get it, and I'm reading it real fast, you know, a lot faster than I'm doing right now. And I said, holy shit, this is it. So he says, next, the whole play of history and power is disrupted by this event, but so too are the conditions of analysis. They're disrupted. You have to take your time. While events were stagnating, you had to anticipate and move more quickly than they did. But when they speed up this much, you have to move more slowly, though without allowing yourself to be buried beneath a welter of words or the gathering clouds of war and preserving intact the unforgettable incandescence of the images, that's the ongoing deduction, all that has been said and written is evidence of a gigantic abreaction, that means reaction, to the event itself and the fascination it exerts. Mm-hmm. That's the evidence. The moral, all that's been said and written, the moral condemnation and the Holy Alliance against terrorism are on the same scale as the prodigious jubilation at seeing this global superpower destroyed, the globalization. Better, at seeing it, in a sense, destroying itself, committing suicide in a blaze of glory. For it is that superpower which, by its unbearable power, has fomented all this violence which is endemic throughout the world, and hence that unwittingly, unwittingly terroristic imagination which dwells in all of us. The fact that we have dreamt of this event, 9/11, that everyone, did you know I'm talking about 9/11, right?
Oh yeah, Spirit of Terrorism.
Yeah.
No, he mentioned it at the World Trade.
Right. The fact that we have dreamt of this event, that everyone without exception has dreamt of it, because no one can avoid dreaming of the destruction of any power that has become hegemonic to this degree. Is unacceptable. Okay. The fact that we have dreamt of this event, that everyone without exception has dreamt of it, is unacceptable to the Western moral conscience. Yet it is a fact, and one which can indeed be measured by the emotive violence of all that has been said and written in the effort to dispel it. At a pinch, we can say that they did it, but we wished for it. If this is not taken into account, the event loses any symbolic dimension. It becomes a pure accident, a purely arbitrary act, the murderous phantasmagoria of a few fanatics, and all that would then remain would be to eliminate, and all that would then remain would be to eliminate them. Now, we know very well that this is not how it is, which explains all the counterphobic ravings about exercising evil. It is because it is there, everywhere, like an obscure object of desire. Without this deep-seated complicity, the event would not have had the resonance it has, and in their symbolic strategy, the terrorists doubtless know that they can count on this unavoidable complicity. This goes far beyond hatred for the dominant world power among the disinherited and the exploited, among those who have ended up on the wrong side of the global order. Even those who share in the advantages of that order have this malicious desire in their hearts. Allergy to any definitive order, to any definitive power, is, happily, universal. Everybody's allergic to this. And the two towers of the World Trade Center were perfect embodiments in their very twinness of that definitive order. No need then for a death drive or a destructive instinct or even for perverse unintended effects. Very logically and inexorably, the increase in the power of power heightens the will to destroy it, and it was party to its own destruction. When the two towers collapsed, you had the impression that they were responding to the suicide of the suicide planes with their own suicides. It has been said that, quote, even God cannot declare war on himself, unquote. Baudrillard says, well, he can. The West, in the position of God, in brackets divine omnipotence and absolute moral legitimacy, has become suicidal and declared war on itself. The countless disaster movies bear witness to this fantasy, which they clearly attempt to exercise with images, drowning out the whole thing with special effects. But the universal attraction they exert, which is on a par with pornography, shows that acting out is never very far away, the impulse to reject any system growing all the stronger as it approaches perfection or omnipotence. It is probable that the terrorists had not foreseen the collapse of the Twin Towers any more than had the experts, a collapse which, much more than the attack on the Pentagon, had the greatest symbolic impact. The symbolic collapse, The symbolic collapse of a whole system came about by an unpredictable complicity, as though the towers, by collapsing on their own, by committing suicide, had joined in to round off the event. In a sense, the entire system, by its internal fragility, lent the initial action a helping hand. The more concentrated the system becomes globally, ultimately forming one single network, the more it becomes vulnerable at a single point. In brackets, already a single little Filipino hacker had managed from the dark recesses of his portable computer to launch the I Love You virus, which circled the globe, devastating entire networks. But here, with the tower, but he doesn't say that, he just says here, it was 18 suicide attackers who, thanks to the absolute weapon of death, enhanced by technological efficiency, unleashed a global catastrophic process. So, like the little hacker. When global power monopolizes situations to this extent, when there is such a formidable condensation of all functions in the technocratic machinery,
You are con- The conference is in presentation mode. There are six parties in the conference.
Paganism, which points past the ghosts of America and the specter of Islam to triumphant globalization battling against itself. So read that again. There is indeed a fundamental antagonism here, but one which points past the specter of America, which is perhaps the epicenter, but in no sense the sole embodiment of globalization, and points past the specter of Islam, which is not the embodiment of terrorism either. It points to triumphant globalization battling against itself. In this sense, we can indeed speak of a world war, not the Third World War, but the fourth, and the only really global one, since what is at stake is globalization itself. The first two world wars corresponded to the classical image of war. The first ended the supremacy of Europe and the colonial era. The second put an end to Nazism. The third, which has indeed taken place in the form of Cold War and deterrence, put an end to communism. With each succeeding war, we have moved further towards a single world order. So today, that order, which has virtually reached its culmination, finds itself grappling with the antagonistic forces scattered throughout the very heartlands of the global in all the current convulsions. A fractal war of all cells, all singularities, revolting in the form of antibodies. A confrontation so impossible to pin down that the idea of war has to be rescued from time to time by spectacular set pieces, such as the Gulf War or the war in Afghanistan. A confrontation so impossible to pin down that the idea of war has to be rescued from time to time by spectacular set pieces, such as the Gulf War or the war in Afghanistan. So you have to retrieve war and pretend there's still war. What'd you say?
That's very good. I like that. Yeah. The idea that has to be rescued. Was it the idea?
Yeah, the idea of war has to be rescued. You have to have one every now and then. A set piece.
With a spectacular set piece, yes.
Yeah. But the Fourth World War is elsewhere. It is what haunts every world order, all hegemonic domination. If Islam dominated the world, terrorism would rise against Islam. For it is the world, the globe itself, which resists globalization. Now, that is fucking fantastic. And nobody takes a book out and looks at this, but I know what to retrieve. And I fucking said, with this inspiration of the meaning of content, which are just every environment since the Playboy interview has been events. And everything, all the wealth-making machine goes around the event, and especially since I'm on one. But this is really clear because of the situation we got into to now, where globalization is the problem, right? So he's describing now, he's ahead of his time, describing what people probably wouldn't understand back 20 years ago about globalization. But now there's a lot of resentment about it. So that is the ground. That's the event. 9/11 was the event. And then maybe the crash in 2008 was the next event. And then COVID is the third event. So this really makes sense. What'd you say?
It's really interesting because I have thought of like this phrase that this idea of the end of events, or I forget the exact phrase he uses, but when the COVID got going and lockdown first happened and everything was being canceled, I thought of Baudrillard and thought of it as like the war on events. You know, we have like or the war on crowds than I thought is maybe a little more accurate. But the idea of just all these, every event, all the big events, you know, like are constantly, our calendar is full of all these events, sporting events, cultural events, et cetera, et cetera. They're all just being canceled one by one. They're all disappearing. And so the idea of, you know, you have a war on, because people used to ask, like, war on terror, like, that's, oh, my God. Like, war on drugs, I understand. That was already crazy. How are you going to fight a war on drugs? But at least drugs are a tangible thing. What the fuck is war on terror? This is just so real now. But it begged the question, what's next? Like, war on drugs was already mind-blowing, but then they came out with an even more mind-blowing one later. Well, what could be more mind-blowing than a war on terror? you know? Like, or what could be even more vague and abstract? And it's like, well, a war on
terror.
Just all...
not terrorism, that's the war on terror, but the reverse, the war on the thing that you're trying to preserve, globalization.
Right, right.
A war on globalization. So what's that? That's, well, they're supposed to be what all the wars were trying to perfect globalization, make it fairer, juster or something. But it was so imploded in on itself, it couldn't be anything but corrupt. Because in the end, globalization or the present environment, the Android meme or even the tech body is the enemy. That's the real enemy. Not any newsworthy content, which you make money off of. So, that's pretty profound insight.
Yeah.
What'd you say? What'd you just say?
Just saying, yeah, I can see that. It's a really fascinating. I'm glad you read all that. That's really been a while since I've revisited it.
Yeah,
and it's important. And it's interesting. Like, because he does describe it in very odd ways. Like this idea, like he said, we all dreamed of it before it happened.
Yes. Yeah,
but you know, of course, he is. Referring to basically a sort of a ambient resentment of global power, and we all dreamed of the spectacular war on it.